Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 51. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me." John 18, 10 to 11, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" In the Gospel of Luke 22, 49 to 51, "When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, 'Permit even this.' And he touched his ear and healed him." The scene set. The hour has come. The betrayal in the garden. The arrest of the righteous one. This no garden stroll. Judas, one of the 12, with the great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Judas, the betrayer, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. They've come to arrest the Son of God. A multitude. And then the one named Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" The words of Jesus, "Permit even this." And he touched the ear and heal them. You know, I'm in awe of Jesus. So in awe, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder. And here we stand, and here I stand today, peering into the garden, marveling at Jesus. Captivated and mesmerized and spellbound and stunned. The most beautiful person I've ever seen, the most beautiful person I've ever laid eyes on. Jesus had predicted Peter's denial, Luke 22, 31 to 34, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," that's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. "Strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And now this, supplies for the road. Verses 35 to 38. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished, fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And into the garden they go. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Jesus in the garden with the disciples, why do you sleep? Rise and pray lest you enter into temptation. Why are you sleeping? Wake up and pray that you will not sink into temptation. Is it sorrow? Weighed down with sorrow? Pray, for sorrow carries the tempt. Rouse us, Jesus. Luke 22, 47 to 50, reading from the voice. Even as he said these words, the sound of the crowd could be heard in the distance. And as the crowd came into view, it was clear that Judas was leading them. He came close to Jesus, and he gave Jesus the traditional greeting of a kiss. Jesus, Judas, is this how you betray the Son of Man? With a kiss? Disciples realizing what was going on. Lord, is this why you told us to bring the swords? Should we attack? Before Jesus could answer, one of them had swung his sword at the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. John 18, 10 to 11, suddenly Peter lunged toward Malchus, one of the high priest's servants, and with his sword, Peter severed the man's right ear. Jesus to Peter, put down your sword and return it to its sheath. Am I to turn away from the cup the Father has given me to drink? Nevertheless, Father's will. Back to Luke, the message, when those with him saw what was happening, they said, Master, shall we fight? One of them took a swing at the chief priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The Wycliffe Bible, smite with sword. And one of them smote the servant of the prince of priests and cut off his right ear. The New Living Translation, look, should we fight, Lord? Should we fight? We brought the swords. In the Living Bible, Master, shall we fight? We brought along the swords. Lord, why the swords? Is this why you told us to bring the swords? Why the sword? Why the swords? To fulfill prophecy? Numbered with the transgressors? Weapons among them? Symbolic? Peril in the hardship of ministry, the Christian life, the fight, the battle, the war. Why the swords? Needed for the moment? Not for actual combat? Metaphorical? you know, like sword of the Spirit, cutting through. The gospel, cutting through a hostile world. Physical violence? No. Why the swords? And why the sword? That a man have an unbelievable, undeniable encounter with Jesus? Jesus said, put your sword in its place. Put your sword in its sheath. Put it away. Permit even this. Jesus says, put your sword away. Put your sword in its sheath. Permit even this. John 18, 10 to 11, the message, Simon Peter, who was carrying a sword, pulled it from its sheath and struck the chief priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Malchus was the servant's name. Jesus ordered Peter, put back your sword. Do you think for a minute I'm not going to drink this cup the Father gave me? And Luke's account, a swing at the chief priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Jesus said, let them be. Even in this. Then touching the servant's ear, he healed him. Important lesson. You know, he's always leading. He's always teaching. He's always instructing. He's always working. The disciples, Peter, Malchus, Peter the assailant, and Malchus the victim. Jesus is saying, this isn't my way, Peter. This is not how my kingdom operates, Peter. A slash of the sword and off comes the ear, and Jesus takes out his sword from its sheath, stretching out his arm, reaching out his arm, touching the ear of Malchus. This sword heals. This is how we fight. This is how we cut. Oh, Jesus, he's come to bring a sword that a cutting would happen, and that cutting is necessary. But even in this, it's not literal putting to the sword, cutting and killing. And yet one day he will return with sword, even sword coming out of his mouth. Be ready. Get ready. Until then, and then that day, there in the garden, Jesus unsheathes his sword, and healing's cut prevails. In awe of Jesus, so in awe of Jesus. Isaiah 53, 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil, the plunder, with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 15, 28, so the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Luke 22, 37, for I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished, fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. Peter, a transgressor. Judas, and all. And though Jesus, not one of the 12, yet numbered among them their leader, their master. Just 11 now with Jesus, the 12th had become a betrayer, his lips filled with talks. And those in the garden with Jesus, the cohort, this company had weapons. Wrong sword, Peter. put it away. Unsheathed the right sword. And so the Son of God drew the sword. Permit even this. Put it away. Permit even this. You see, sometimes it's necessary. Permit even this. Sometimes it's necessary that we drink the cup which our Father has given us, for we must allow the story to unfold. Even in this, Peter. Don't cut off the ear. Pray for its healing. Pray for its hearing. The deaf ear needs healing, not severing. And someone in the room today saying, well, the man still had a left ear. Did he? Did he have a left ear? If so, how is its hearing? Give a guard a miracle. Give this soldier a miracle. The servant of the high priest come to arrest the anointed one. Give him a miracle. This is Jesus. Think about it and think about who he is. You see, Jesus serves the ones who would fall away. He washes the feet of those who would stumble. He serves the one who would betray him, dips in the dish with him. He prays for the one who would deny him. He heals the one who arrests him. Loves the world that would crucify him. Loved the world that crucified him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And here in the garden is Jesus protecting the one who would deny him. Put your sword in its place. Put your sword into its sheath. Permit even this. And he touched his ear and he healed him. A charge against Peter, no doubt, should the ear have remained severed. But the Lord and the sword of the Son of God wielded the answer. The sword of the Lord for Peter. The sword of protection. The rapier of relief. The blade of backing. The arm of covering. The hand of shielding. This is Jesus. These precious words, I like to believe that he who loves me as an immortal spirit loves me as a mortal man. He who loves me as I shall be before his throne in glory loved me as I was when I hung upon my mother's breast and loves me as I now am with many a weakness and infirmity clinging to me. He who takes care of the soul takes care of the body too. Notice that this care of our Lord was effectual. Is it not singular that none of those soldiers and servants of the high priest touched one of the 11? Is it not remarkable that Malchus, having lost his right ear, did not feel it his duty to thrust at Peter? But the Savior interposes and just touches the wounded ear, and it is healed. And Peter is suffered to go. That act of Peter was enough to bring on battle royal all around. And we know that the whole 11 had only two swords between them. They could have made only a very feeble stand against a band of armed men, yet not one of them was injured. How well does Jesus protect his own? Hey, Peter! Put your sword away. Put your sword in its sheath. Permit even this. And he touched his ear. Peter, I've come to heal ears. I've come to restore hearing. I've come to put ears on the heads of humanity. This Malchus here in the garden needs hearing. This Malchus needs saving. This Malchus needs healing. This Malchus needs me. He needs me just as much as you need me, Peter. I've come to save him just as much as you, Peter. He's come to lead me to destiny. He knows not what he's doing, Peter. He's blind, Peter. I'm going to die for him, Peter. And I'm going to die for you, Peter. Did Malchus ever give his life to Jesus? I don't know. But there is no doubt that this man knew firsthand the healing power of Jesus Christ. This soldier, this unregenerate man, this one, this sinner that came to arrest him, to take him away, to silence the Son of God, to shut the Lamb up. There is no doubt that he knew firsthand the power, the healing power of the Son of God. Malchus, you know, his name means king or kingdom. Little K. Little K. And here's King Jesus and his kingdom. You know, if Jesus wouldn't have permitted this, it would have severed the kingdom and the ear of it. If Jesus wouldn't have permitted this, there would be no restoration, no reconciliation, no salvation, no redemption, no freedom. The last person Jesus healed before the crucifixion, Mr. Malchus. Mercy to enemies. These words, Jesus' final healing miracle, summarized who he was and what he taught and why he came. And this, he, Jesus, did not heal Malchus so that the arrest would stop. He healed him so that the path to the cross would remain pure. The New King James Version, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I can not now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Teach us, Lord. The Message paraphrase, Jesus said, put your sword back where it belongs. All who use swords are destroyed by swords. Don't you realize that I'm able right now to call to my Father and 12 companies, more if I want them, of fighting angels would be here. Battle ready. How many would be calling? Permit even this. Not my will, but your will be done. Thank God he drank the cup dry. If I did that, if I called on these angels, battle ready. If I did that, how would the scriptures come true that say, this is the way it has to be? The Voice Bible, Jesus, put your sword back. People who live by the sword die by the sword. Surely you recognize that if I called on my Father, he would send 12 legions of messengers to rescue me. But if I were to do that, I would be thwarting the scriptural story, wouldn't I? And we must allow the story of God's kingdom to unfold. Someone's got to hear that today. Permit even in this, we have to allow the story of God's kingdom to unfold. Amen. So be it. You see, it's all about the fulfillment of Scripture. It's all about the fulfillment of the story of God's kingdom. We read it, and we read it time and time again, that the Scripture, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Should we strike, Lord? Put the sword away. Like right now, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. You can't see the big picture. Permit even this. We must allow the story to unfold. Ahead quick on wings to Pilate's court. John 18, 28 to 37, and they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to meet them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer," literally a criminal, "we would not have delivered him up to you." And Pilate said to them, "You take him. You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Put the ear back on the man. His kingdom is not of this world. The message, "My kingdom," said Jesus, "doesn't consist of what you see all around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews, but I'm not that kind of king, not the world's kind of king. Thank God." The voice, "My kingdom is not recognized in this world. If this were my kingdom, my servants would be fighting for my freedom." You know, I thought about this. It's crazy that the devil didn't try and do everything in his power to keep Jesus alive. Just let that sink in. Think about it. "My kingdom is not in this physical realm." J.B. Phillips' New Testament, "My kingdom is not founded in this world. If it were, my servants would have fought to prevent me from being handed over to the Jews. But in fact, my kingdom is not founded on all of this." Listen, he's a king. He is the king. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And if there's a little K king in the house today, with your little K kingdom, you need the big K king. You need the big K kingdom. You need Jesus. He's our only hope. The Amplified Classic, "My kingdom, kingship, royal power belongs not to this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have been fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here, this world. It has no such origin or source. The spotless king." Where are you, Malchus? Not a common name. I've never met anyone with the name. Perhaps there's a 2V mother in the house. Malchus. Not a bad name. Where are you, Malchus? You heard his voice. Did you hear his voice? Can you hear his voice? Can't you hear his voice? Will you hear his voice? Where are you, little K King? Where are you in the kingdom of this world? Where are you, Malchus? Where are you, son? In the garden this day? In the presence of Jesus? You know, how many Malchuses have lived? I wonder. You know, those who have sought to arrest Jesus, those who had no affinity to Jesus, those who were just following orders, those who entered the garden with the betrayer that they might silence the Son of God, those with swords and clubs in hand. And Jesus unsheaths his sword after the severing of the ear and touches them and heals them. Is that the end, Malchus? Is that the end of the story? Is that the end of your hearing of Jesus? Is that the end of your history with Jesus? You know, Jesus can put the ear back on a man, but I wish he'd maybe take the fingers off of man, you know, plug in their ears. The model of a man. The model of a man. Is some man in the house? What's the model of a man? Charles Spurgeon said, now, Christian, who is your model of a man? You do not hesitate for a second, I'm sure. There is but one model of a Christian, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Will you then remember that whatever is Christly is manly? And whatever you think to be manly, which is not Christ-like, is really unmanly, as judged by the highest style of man. The Lord Jesus draws near to the Samaritan village, and they will not receive him, though he was always kind to the Samaritans. Good John, gentle John, becomes highly indignant and cries, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Jesus meekly answers, you know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. See him on another occasion. Your master has risen from his knees with the bloody sweat still on his face, and Judas comes and betrays him, and they begin to handle him very roughly, and therefore, being highly provoked, brave Peter draws out his sword. And just to flash it a little, he cuts off the ear of Malchus. Hear how gently Jesus says, put up again your sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And so he heals that ear at once. Was that manly? Was that manly? Do you think? Was it manly to refuse to call fire from heaven and to touch and heal the wounded ear? To me, it seems superlatively manly, and may such be my manliness and yours. You know, it might be exactly what we need to hear today, this day, and in our time, and in our times. Should we strike, Lord? Permit even this. we must allow the scriptural story to unfold. Son, daughter, put your sword in its place. Put your sword in its sheath. Well, Malchus, where are you? Are you here? What seat number? Are you hearing? Will you hear with the ear? With those ears that God gave you? Those ears He created for you. You know, it's a miracle you have ears. It really is. And a right ear. No right ear, as many have left. Further words, how the fire of the gospel will test a man's heart. Many a man thinks he carries something good within him, and he wraps himself up in the robes of his own righteousness until the gospel comes. And then he finds that he is naked and poor and miserable. Many a professor imagines that he is serving God and doing well until the gospel, in the gospel's fire, his wood, hay, and stubble vanish in smoke. All through this world of ours, the gospel will burn up with unquenchable fire everything that is evil and leave nothing but that which is just and true. Of all things under heaven, the most intolerant is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What? You ask, intolerant? Yes. I say intolerant. The gospel enables us to proclaim liberty of conscience to all men. The gospel wields no temporal sword. It asks for no cannonballs to open the gates of a nation for its ministry. The true gospel prepares no dungeon and no rack. It asks not Peter's sword to cut off Malchus's ear. But while it gives freedom from all bondage, it demands obedience to itself. Within its own realm, its power is absolute. Its arguments cut and kill error. Its teachings lay low every proud hope and expose every false way. The gospel is merciful to the sinner, but merciless to sin. It will not endure evil, but wars against it to overturn it and to set up a throne for him whose right it is to reign. The gospel of Jesus Christ will never join hands with infidelity or popery. It will never enter into league with idolatry. It cannot be at peace with error. False religions can lie down side by side with one another, for they are equally a lie, and there is a brotherhood between them. But the true religion will never rest until all superstitions are utterly exterminated, until the banner of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, shall wave over every mosque and minaret, temple and shrine. Fire cannot be made tolerant of that which can be consumed. It will burn the stubble until the last particle is gone, and the truth of God is of the same kind. Peace in a world full of unrest. Permit even this. Rest. It doesn't mean we don't fight in other ways. But put down the sword. Jesus didn't come to sever people. Kill them, he came to save them. He came to raise them. He came to give them life. can have the worship ministry return today. You know, every Melchus must choose. And it's the choice in this lifetime, one's choice in this lifetime, while there's still breath in your lungs, which is a gift of God. Every breath. And the next breath, you know, maybe we need to slow down and inhale and exhale. You know, only a kind God gives power to choose. Only a kind and benevolent King gives power to choose. Jesus doesn't force anybody to get saved. You say, well, he definitely forced Saul on the road to Damascus. I'd say, no, he still had a choice. You can have the most radical encounter with Jesus. He can put your ear back on. And you still have a choice. Hear him for a moment. Hear him for an hour. Hear him for a day. Hear him for a week. Hear him for a month. How about a year? Or a decade? Or decades? And all of a sudden, hear him no more. You are who you are today. We all are. And what of the Melchus here this day with a severed ear? Has someone severed your ear? Has someone or something severed your ear of hearing? Have you severed your own? And turned away the left? Have you no desire for hearing? Put your sword away. Put it in its sheath. The Savior is here. Permit even this. Jesus is here in this garden. And no matter what you've done and regardless of your company, he is ready to unsheath his sword and heal your ear this day, to heal you this day, to save you this day, to save your soul. He indeed died for your soul and he rose again from the grave on the third. Little K King and your little kingdom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the room. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the room inviting you into his big K kingdom. It might be your last chance. It might be the last call. Melchus, servant of the high priest. But guess what? You're here sitting, and soon you'll be standing before the high priest. Might you kneel? Kneel, son. Malchus, come to Jesus. You know, Malchus, there was no request. No request. Jesus was just so quick. Jesus heals them. You know, some are healed and there's no request. But what now, son? And what of Peter? Is there a Peter in the Lord's house? You meant well. You wanted to follow Jesus even to death. You sought to defend him, even there with the sword. And he covered you. Do you remember when he covered you? Not long after, you denied him. But he prayed for you. He spoke faith into you. He will restore you. And he turned and looked at you, Peter. You went out and you wept bitterly. You've wept bitterly, but now let him wipe your tears. It's time. Peter, the risen one, is here to raise you. John 18, 26 to 27. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter denied it. And immediately a rooster crowed. The voice Bible reads, one of the high priest's servants who was related to Malchus, the person Peter attacked and cut off his ear, recognized Peter, high priest's servant. Didn't I see you in the garden with him? Peter denied it again, and instantly a rooster crowed. Was he scared? Was Peter scared? Did Peter recognize the relative of Malchus? Well, Peter, it's time to be restored. It's time to build the kingdom. It's time to rise up. Faith hasn't failed. You've got brothers to strengthen. You've got sisters to strengthen. You've got preaching to do and ministry to perform. Jesus is with you, and Jesus will empower you. How did Jesus fight in the garden? The model of a man. How did Jesus fight? On his knees. You know, I wonder if that's why, first and foremost, I want my church, I want my house to be known as a house of prayer. Hey, praise is great. Programs are great. Pop and chips. Just trying to find words that start with P. Prayer is the boiler room. Prayer is where the power is. We need to pray. You see, he said, pray lest you enter into what? Temptation. Lest you sink into temptation. How many disciples, quote unquote, today, they're good at all the other stuff, but not very good at prayer. And you know what? They've entered into temptation. They can't even see it. They're blind. They've sunk into temptation. Like mire. It's time to wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. What happens? He lifts me out of the pit, out of the mire. That's what the word says. You got to wait on God. You know, the church closest to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we should be praying the most. We should be on our knees the most. You're like, no, that's going to happen when revival happens. You know, most revivals, I mean, we're living in revival. Just take the blinders off. But most revivals have started with an unbelievable conviction of sin. And people on their knees praying. Maybe we got it backwards. New methods, new ways. Let's just go back into the garden today. Let's go into the garden. You know, it's getting beautiful outside. Pretty soon we'll be out in the garden. There in the garden with Jesus. What's Jesus doing in the garden? Guess what? In the garden with Jesus, and there were disciples sleeping. Not Jesus. The model of the man is over there. You're like, well, all the other disciples are sleeping. This must be what we do. I don't even care if you're sitting there and you're awake and you're daydreaming. That's not the model of a man. Jesus is over there on his knees. Jesus is praying. How did Jesus fight? He fought on his knees. He fought with prayers and with mercy and compassion and kindness. And when a soldier's ear came off, he fought with resolve, vision, Father's heart, Father's will, destiny, the call, the commission. Permit even this. You know, like a permit. Jesus is no robber. Someone's in here and you're like, if I give my life to Jesus, he's just going to rob me of my freedom. Rob me of my free time. Rob me of my Sundays. Rob me of my Tuesday nights. Rob my sons and daughters of their Friday nights. You are the robber. And it's not going to go well. Fall in love with Jesus. It's the greatest romance. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, when you get married, you're not like, great. I fell in love. And she's taking all my time. And she's telling me to do things and give me a list. You know, I'm doing the same. And there could be marriages in the house, and it's exactly like that today. You need to go back into the garden. You need to go back. Let God heal you. And heal your union. Heal your marriage. You know, when you fall in love, it's not hard to do things for people. You know, when you have a son or daughter, and they come into your life, and you're like, man, I would do anything for that son or daughter. I'd die for that son or daughter. I'd go to hell and back for that son or daughter. Jesus is the giver of life. He's not a robber. He's the giver of joy. He's the giver of peace. He's the giver of hope. Maybe you came here today and you're like, I'm going to go to church just to prove that Jesus isn't for me. Well, I would suggest that you come to him. Well, maybe there's someone in the house today and you don't have a sword. You know, like a Bible. You have no sword. Good news. Keep your garment. You don't have to sell your garment. You can come to the front when I'm done and you can take a Bible free of charge. You can take the sword. Or on your way out, you could ask for one. We have Bibles. You can just have it. You can take it. You can begin to read the sword. And you know what? Never put that sword away. Never sheath that sword. Keep it unsheathed your whole life. Yet, you know, if you're here and you don't have a sword, you don't have a Bible, but your garment is not salvation's garment, spurn it. Take it off. You know what? You can't sell it. Nobody wants it. Give it back to the devil and put on the garment of salvation. And then put on the garment of praise. And put on the garment of holiness. And you got your wedding garment. And you know what? When you love the one who's coming to take the bride, blessed are those that wash their robes now. They keep their garment pure and undefiled because they're ready and they're saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because the last time I read the book and last time I read the close of Revelation, it says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Lord Jesus, come. Can you say with confidence today, this is how serious it is in your own self and in your own life, that you know Jesus, that you've surrendered your life and given your life to him. You have assurance of eternal life, and you could say, in this moment right now, come, Lord Jesus, come. I know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God and to stand at the judgment seat. The last enemy is death. We'll all stand before him and give account for our life, for everything we've done. But Jesus covers us. Jesus is our hope. And to God that we would all leave this place today, all of us, with the assurance that we can say and that we can sing, come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down, I know this world is not my home. So come, Jesus, come.